Thank you, Lita. I'm a lover of biographies, and I've always wondered about the difficulty in deciding what to include and what to exclude. But you added two dimensions of difficulty by writing an intense personal journey of Mary Shelley in verse and then illustrating each page. Please share both why and how you chose this format.
It was a challenging format in terms of the content that there was. There was so much material to work with, and for every poem that's written, there's so many on the cutting room floor. And it was also challenging because my readers, this is a young adult book, and my readers I knew were going to be 16 to 20. They're not going to have a knowledge of the Napoleonic Wars and what is a Jacobite and all these different things that are leading up. What was science like in the early 1800s? But I really came to the decision pretty early to do it in novel and verse for two reasons. One is Mary herself was surrounded by poetry, and she was such an emotional person. And poetry has a way of getting to the heart of things in a very succinct way. And I felt like it was both tribute to her life, and also she set the stage. She told me that poetry was the way to make this resonate emotionally with young readers. The other reason is because at the end of the day, I am a writer, but I am also a visual storyteller. Illustrations are such a big part of how I tell stories, and I wish in the format of this talk I could share the illustrations. I hope for those of you who haven't seen the book that you take some time and just look at the pictures. I feel strongly in my belief that that pictures can speak so much to the emotional resonance of a character. So much of the visceral reactions that Mary has to the cruelty that is being inflicted on her and her resilience and strength can be said with conveying what her eyes look like. And I don't need to say more. And I knew that my readers would get it in that format. And so I wanted the novel in verse works in terms of format because it gives me the real estate that I need in order to create those pictures as well. I've written 30 books now, and I hope to write 30 more. And I know all of them will be visual because I'm such a believer, for me, that telling stories visually is creatively is what I'm driven to do.
Thanks. My other question, the title word monster intrigues me because Mary Shelley's life was filled with many monsters. She had a stepmother who clearly rejected her, a mercurial, often cruel Shelley. Her stepsister shared Shelley's bed. And the poet Mad Lord Byron was extraordinarily cruel. And yet in her book, she presents a creation who says at one point, I ought to have been thy Adam to the man who created and rejected him, and is a compassionate character. How is it, do you think, that Mary Shelley created this compassionate creature rather than a raging, hideous, typical monster?
I think the heart of the answer to that question is that Mary loved Shelley, only Shelley was indeed monstrous to her. And I think Mary's whole life and the difficulty in writing about her, especially through the lens of a modern person, is why did she put up with us? But if we go back 200 years and realize of the choices that she had, first of all, she didn't live in the Me Too movement. She didn't live in a time where she had a belief in the right to be treated completely as an equal. Shelley promised equality of intellect, but she was so mistreated as a child. How she could have fashioned an archetype relationship where she wasn't mistreated, it was beyond her. The other thing is she lived in a time when she had no choices to express herself, and Shelley promised that, and I think that was incredibly important to her. And then I think at the end of the day, when you read Frankenstein, you come to understand Mary was an incredibly empathetic person. Nobody who wasn't empathetic could gain the knowledge at 19 to write that book. And I think that the creature, in a lot of ways, was fashioned after Shelley. He was incredibly cruel, but she understood that Shelley felt persecuted. He was persecuted by his own mental demons, and he was this incredibly gifted artist who was persecuted by reviewers as well. He was persecuted by his family for the choices he made, and she saw how that destroyed him. And even in the midst of her most painful moments, I think she never lost touch of the compassion she had for what the battles he was waging. I think for her to be centered enough to think about what she was dealing with was something that we couldn't have expected a teenage girl to have that clarity in the 1800s. And so when you look at the book, and I hope you find time to do that, the creature looks subtly like Shelley, and I'm hoping readers will see that. And there's a lot of poses where the creature and Shelley, you see the Shelley when he's having his mental conflict, and later you see the creature, and you see this eerie parallel. And I think that that's why she was, in the end, incredibly empathetic to the creature and created this character with compassion, because she was fashioning him based on the existence that she was experiencing.
Thank you.
I now have some questions from the audience. This beautiful book is so very different from the children's books you're known for. Do you have plans for another illustrated verse book? And another one wants to know, what are you planning as you move forward in your writing?
I wish I could live 1,000 years and do endless books. Anybody who knows me well knows that I'm constantly juggling projects. And I do have another novel in verse that's written, and you know, at the early stages, the first draft is written. The reality of Mary is that she took me 6 years to create, a year of production, incredibly expensive book to produce, and then a year of promoting. So that was 8 years of my life. And Dave and I make our living through our creation. You know, my books are how we survive in the world. And so it's always a balancing act of finding the passions that speak to you and give you passion, and also, you know, logistically work for us. So I hope to get to a place where I can invest the time and energy that it took to create this book. But I also love creating work for young readers. I do kind of feel like my purpose in life is to bring children to not only literacy, but to art. We all have a purpose that we've been, you know, put here. We all find that thing that we're good at. And for me, I feel like we live in a culture where sometimes there's not a lot of ways that children are introduced to art. And it matters to me that they have that in their life. And so I find creating young books incredibly rewarding. And so I keep getting drawn into those stories too, which somehow, to do another novel in verse, I'll have to carve out 6 to 8 years of my life. And meanwhile, the second part of the question is, I actually have 5 books in the works. I have a nonfiction book about trees and how they are communities, work as communities. I have a book about a fiction book that's kind of geared towards helping children deal with anxiety and realizing that they have the resources within to do that. So I have a lot of different ideas, and it's always a juggling act of which one actually gets to be complete in the form of a book to share with readers.
Thank you. I have an interesting question here, more on the relating to the modern. How do you think Mary Shelley would react to Hollywood's interpretation of her book?
Well, we kind of actually fortunately know, because Mary Shelley witnessed the lobotomized loping monster. And it's really interesting, her reaction. When I heard that the book had been published over and over again, and interestingly enough, her father made money from the book, the man that he was, and Mary never made a cent off of this book, anonymously, because she was forced to publish it anonymously. But she did get to see it performed on stage, and she did see that monster, you know, turn from creature to monster. And when I was reading through that, I was like, oh boy, this is the worst tragedy she's going to have to endure with all these things. And I was so delighted to find out that she actually kind of loved it. She loved that the audience was like aghast, and she loved the fact that everybody was debating, and they were really upset by the atheism portrayed in the book. And she loved the fact that it set people on edge, and they were discussing these topics. And so I think she was pretty pretty level-headed about the whole thing. She knew that it was being adapted and changed, but she also knew. She saw enough to know that that book was going to be influential long past her existence, and I think she went to her grave knowing that, and that meant a lot to her.
This other question also relates to the creation. In the book, he watches a peasant family and he learns language. And this question says, what language do you think the monster speaks? It's never mentioned in the novel, but implied by the setting. Is it the French-speaking area of Switzerland?
I think that France and Switzerland were hugely influential in Mary's formation. So yes, I do think that that is true. Mary grew up in the shadow of the Napoleonic Wars, and she grew up with this dichotomy of a father who was so believed that this was what the world needed to go through, and a mother who had talked about the French Revolution, and even though it was, you know, this horrible, bloody situation, it was something that the world had to go through it to end tyrannical rule. And then she saw that whole thing explode and crumble, and she saw what that did to her father. And so I think that that culture and everything around was a deep influence for her. So I think to seek a region beyond for influencing her creature would be pointless, because she was so much a product of this young girl living in England, witnessing what was going on in France, and particularly in her household, because they had all these people escaping the French Revolution and lining up on her father's doorstep.
Thanks. We're going to turn now to a question that has to do with you, the writer. Can you tell us a little bit about your start in writing?
I had a very slow start to writing. I was a geologist. I worked on dinosaur digs. I was raised with a family of science. I think part of that attracted me to Mary. I was also born in a very isolated part of the world. I was born on a little island in Alaska, and my family had an incredibly nomadic life, and it was pretty stark. We didn't have a lot of exposure to books when I was a kid. In fact, I didn't really have children's books until I was 12. So the thought of growing up and becoming an artist and an author was non-existent for me, and I was a geologist who painted on the side on the weekends, and my husband took me to art museums, and I would look and just think I had a hunger that I couldn't explain. And apparently one day after we moved to Peterborough, we were washing dishes, and I said, I wish if I could do anything in the world, I'd write and illustrate a children's book. And Dave threw down the towel and said, why don't you just do it already? And I realized I might have said that maybe 1,000 times. And so I sat down and I did it, and years and years of drawing and writing. Children's books is very competitive, and I feel very fortunate because I sat down and wrote a book. That book didn't get published, but it got me my editor, and the next book I wrote did get published. But I think that my life was just a combination of having not been exposed to the thing I was destined to do and then getting the exposure, and it just sort of turned the passion on full steam. And so we've been creating books ever since. I say we because Dave is my business manager. We work at this together. I write and illustrate, and Dave does all the things that are entailed in bringing books out into the world and getting them in the hands of children, which is a lot of work, and he's a huge part of that.
The last question I'm just going to pose as an interesting and intriguing question, but not require you to answer it.
Okay.
The question from the audience says, is this similar to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? I don't know. I do want to thank you again for sharing your time and your expertise with us.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it.
Next Sunday, there is no Lyceum program because we encourage you to enjoy the McDowell Colony Medal Day honoring Charles Gaines. Our program on Sunday, August 18th, will feature Debbie Irving, author of Waking Up White and Finding Myself in the Story of Race.